Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning. I hope you slept well. I'm Angela Ray in for Roland Martin. Just ahead on News One Now, the aftershock of Prince's death is still being felt all over the world. We'll examine his life and legacy along with recent developments. The presidential candidates are campaigning from Connecticut to Indiana as they get ready for another Super Tuesday. We'll have the latest on the race for the White House. Three teenage girls drown in a stolen car while authorities on the scene allegedly stand by and watch. We'll discuss with one of the family's attorneys. Today's Fit, Live, Win breaks down the do's and don'ts of a raw vegan diet. News One Now starts right now.
I love Prince because he put out great music and he was a great performer.
The world needs to know that it wasn't just the music. The music was one way he tried to help the world, but he was helping every single day of his life.
Van, as a friend and a loved one, what are you guys dealing with today?
Just guilt. Feeling like, what could we have done? What happened?
You know, he was incredible, and I'm just glad that I was able to say to him, I love you, the last time I saw him.
He was a visionary, you know. He was a genius at writing songs, and the way that he wrote songs, and the way that he told stories, you know, and the way that his music will live on forever.
The nation obviously continues to mourn the untimely death of Prince Rogers Nelson, which has sent shockwaves around the world. Since his death, celebrities, family, friends, and fans are still expressing their sorrow and pain. The musical icon was found dead in his Paisley Park compound Thursday morning. An autopsy was performed at the medical examiner's office in Ramsey, Minnesota on Friday, where medical officials found no signs of trauma to the singer's body, and suicide was ruled out. Now, medical officials say it could take weeks before a cause of death is determined. During a news conference Friday, the Carver County Sheriff declined to confirm if Prince was taking medication at the time of his death. Prince's remains were cremated Saturday, and close family and friends gathered for a private memorial service at his home in Minnesota. Sunday, Prince's publicist announced his remains will be taken to a final private resting place. Over the weekend, there was also a huge national and global response to Prince's death, and purple reigned supreme on several skylines and popular sites, with buildings and landmarks donning their exteriors with purple lights in honor of Prince. Saturday Night Live also took time to honor the musical icon. The hour-long show was dedicated to Prince and aired his various SNL performances throughout the night, giving fans a recap of his greatness over the years at SNL. Fans of the multi-platinum artist also celebrated his life with a dance party outside Spike Lee's home in Brooklyn. Thursday, a crowd gathered outside the Apollo Theater for a dance session, while tributes were seen and heard on Broadway stages by the casts of Hamilton and Color Purple. Joining me on the panel to discuss these developments, as well as Prince's life and legacy, Barbara Arnwine, founding president of the Transformative Justice Coalition, Drew Elons, national director for advocacy and public policy for Mocha Moms, and Republican political consultant Shermichael Singleton. So glad to have all of you here with us on this Monday. And, you know, the pain won't go away. And I'm going to try not to cry, but, you know, it's just, yes, it's that painful. And, you know, when Dave Chappelle said, this is the 9-11 for black folks, it's our 9-11. It's a 9-11 for us. It's so overwhelming.
You know, I think I have been trying to figure out when lots of the celebrities out, like when Michael Jackson and of course with Prince, why was there so much of emotion evoked around that. And so I come up with one of the things is when, you know, I think about all the different songs that have different touch points in my life, mm-hmm. and all of the different things that it is connected to, a memory, to fun times. Yes. I actually posted about, I'm from Birmingham, and mm-hmm. I posted about a skating rink that we used to all go to and how they used to play certain songs. Yep. And, you know, it's like that skating rink mm-hmm. is no longer there, mm-hmm. and now Prince is no longer here. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? And I think it's just really hard because it wasn't expected. He wasn't, no one saw any signs other than, oh, the plane stopped in mm-hmm. Illinois, mm-hmm. but nobody was really expecting it. So I think a lot of the ongoing pain is still dealing with the shock and the realization.
And I think that, I don't know if we were aware that this was going to hit us like this. Because, you know, when I think about when Michael Jackson died, I mean, we were gutted. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember quite, I mean, this is something different.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, again, as you said, no one expected it. Well, Michael Jackson,
right,
he lived a very interesting life, and we all sort of wondered, mm-hmm. So it was a surprise, but not so much with Prince. He was someone who was healthy from all accounts. He looked amazing for a 57-year-old. So it surprised a lot of people. And I think as an artist, I mean, he was someone that just transcended so many boundaries artistically, whether it was gender, whether it was music, the messaging of his songs. I mean, mm-hmm. talk about a creative genius. I mean, he definitely was the epitome.
And, you know, you talked about his health. I'll get to you in just a second. What I remembered was that a couple of years ago, he was really battling with whether he should get a hip replacement.
Yes.
I didn't
yes.
realize that he had actually gotten it. Mm-hmm. And that this, you know, things like this, you know, we love our performers. We want them to give their all on the stage.
Yes.
We want Beyonce mm-hmm. in high heels dancing and doing the splits
exactly.
and doing the funky chicken and all that stuff. But it takes a toll on your body.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And I don't think I think oftentimes us regular people, we enjoy the shows. We enjoy to see this. Even with athletes, basketball
yes,
players,
right,
football
yes.
players. We don't
exactly.
take into account
right.
the toll this has on the person's
right.
body. And there's only so much and so much time that they can continue to do that every single day before it's like, wait a minute, the
that's
body
right.
says, hold on.
Exactly.
I've done
you
this
can't
long
go no
enough.
More. Right.
right.
Well, and I think the reason why Prince's death really sinks so hard and hurts so much is because of his range.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Somebody who played 27 instruments, somebody who created a whole different sound within music, somebody who wrote 10 greatest hits for other artists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Somebody who created just artist after artist after artist. Plus, I think what really hurts is that in his last years, we started to see a new Prince. Mm-hmm. He was more active, mm-hmm. more public.
Mm-hmm.
He was more socially engaged.
Mm-hmm.
He cared about
issues. What was that about?
And I'm wondering what hurt.
I'm wondering why did it take so long? Because here's the thing, like I think about Michael Jackson, he was always like, you know, socially out and socially.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I wonder why. And you know what? It's just the individual. It just goes to show you how individual
right.
we all are. And to find out and to learn that this man had such extreme stage fright that is one of the reasons he
yes.
would take a pill because he had so much
yes.
stage fright. He somehow overcame it and just became this totally different open person at the
right.
very end. And
yes.
that's a good thing.
I think also
yes.
too, one of the things I was reading about his journey, his spiritual journey, and a lot of things that he's already done, he's been doing for years
mm-hmm.
as far as his philanthropy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think you were here where I read somewhere where someone wanted to get an album signed, and he was like, I'm not going to sign that album because I'm no longer in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was in a different place mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm.
A different place is like, I want, I'm taking my music
yeah.
to a new level,
right.
and I'm taking myself to a new level. And I think that's why we started seeing him more or in a different light. But then again, you know, I'm a Southerner.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's always this thing of people know when their time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he's planning out
mm-hmm.
his time. And I think everything happened exactly like he wanted
mm-hmm.
From performing to the last minute to having his private ceremony with his intimate friends and then having an all-star, fabulous memorial service that will lift up his music so that truly purple can reign.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Barbara, you mentioned something that is key, and I've been mentioning it in my household,
yes.
and it is that this man created a separate genre of music.
Exactly.
So you can't say, because it's a lot of rock. but it's a lot of R&B. Oh, but hold on, it's a lot of funk, like the president said. Hold on, it's a little bit. So it's a genre of music unto itself. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see which artist comes along that can actually take the Prince mantle, you know, because that is, I know, it is, it is, it is, it is. So I do feel like he has, go ahead.
There's so few artists like him. Think about it. A lot of artists, they just perform.
Yes.
They sing other people's songs.
Yes.
How many of them actually can write the music?
Thank you.
Can play the instruments.
Yeah.
Can write the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Can perform the lyrics. Is an amazing performer on stage.
That's a genius.
I mean, just think about that. That's a rarity.
I play the trumpet, mm-hmm. and I can tell you, as a musician, to be able to learn all of those instruments,
yes.
not to just play a simple chords, to know.
All the
various notes, to be able to play as if you're an expert on every last one, is something that's not very easy to do.
Right.
If you look at a lot of amazing musicians, even classically, or whether it's jazz or R&B, mm-hmm. I mean, this guy literally could play any genre mm-hmm. and do it masterfully. That is the epitome of a genius.
And to have the masters say so of you is
exactly.
To have someone ask Eric Clapton, what's it like to be the best guitarist in the world? He says, I don't know. Why don't you ask Prince? Right. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know?
And then also think about his entrepreneurship. That's the thing I love.
Uh-huh.
Because that's one thing that Diana Ross got right, and uh-huh. Very few artists get it right, uh-huh. which is the whole issue of you have to own your masters.
Thank you.
You have to own your
business. James Brown, thank you.
And he with the war.
Yes, he did.
Over
he did.
His rights.
Yes, he did. Right.
And he wrote slave on his face
mm-hmm.
for everybody who thought he didn't know he was black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he made it very clear that he understood the race, the black economics
of being in the music
mm-hmm. industry. Mm-hmm. I love him for that.
And
that's something, right.
He won.
That's right.
And he taught a whole lot of artists how to be different.
That's right.
And I think that's why Jay-Z can get out there with Tidal.
That's right.
Because of what
Which
he
is where
did.
Prince's music
Absolutely.
Is.
Yeah, his amazing roots. Absolutely.
And Van Jones will be sitting in this seat at some point this week or next. I can't remember. But Prince was very much so end up high tech for kids.
Yes.
And
I love
joining forces with Van Jones to get inner city kids, get them to the point. And here's what he said, and I know we have to go. But Jones said, every time you see a black kid wearing a hoodie, you say there's a thug. If you see a white kid wearing a hoodie, you say there's Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
Here's mm-hmm. what Prince said, and then Jones said that's because of racism. Prince said, and I quote, maybe so, or maybe you civil rights guys haven't created enough Mark Zuckerbergs. Drop the mic.
We got nothing against that. We need a whole lot of black billionaires.
That's exactly right.
Yes,
that's exactly
and conscious
right.
ones.
That's exactly right.
Needle.
So he was speaking it into existence and truth to power. And I just think about all the people at Paisley Park who he maybe didn't know their names personally, but he knew their faces, and he would invite them into private.
Yes.
He was just the best. Thank you so much. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Prince Rogers Nelson, gone far too soon.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
We are listening to ordinary people and not spending half my life with the billionaires.
Any vote for me is a vote for me. It ain't a vote for somebody else.
Do we want to nominate a candidate who's a phony?
He walks in, Bible held high, then he puts the Bible down, and then he lies. Good afternoon, Bridgeport. How are you? This is crooked Hillary Clinton.
When people do the political coverage, it's like, who said what nasty thing about somebody else? You know, honestly, that is not going to make us a better country.
Well, the candidates are covering a lot of ground, as you can see, as they try to rack up more delegates during the latest round of Super Tuesday. Polling shows front runners, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are leading across all five states. The primaries will be held in Delaware, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. The largest delegate prize on the Democratic side will be in Pennsylvania with 189 delegates up for grabs. As of right now, Mrs. Clinton has 1,941 delegates. That's counting pledged delegates and these superdelegates. Senator Bernie Sanders has 1,191. Senator Sanders would have time to win every remaining contest by 20 points in order to catch up with Secretary Clinton's delegate lead. Sanders says income inequality is the reason why he's so behind Clinton in the primary.
Poor people don't vote. I mean, that's just a fact. That's the sad reality of American society, and that's what we have to transform.
Wow, poor people don't vote. Okay, we'll get to that. Sanders' policy director says, according to the Census Bureau, one in four of those earning less than $10,000 voted in 2014. Also, the turnout was just 12% among 18 to 24-year-olds earning less than $30,000. As for the Republican side, Donald Trump has the most delegates with 845. Senator Ted Cruz has 559, followed by Governor John Kasich with 148. Now, if Donald Trump wins a majority of the delegates on Tuesday, he'd need just a little more than 50% of the remaining delegates to win the nomination. But, of course, there is plenty of opposition on the GOP side. The Trump-Cruz squabbles have turned off ultra-conservative billionaire contributor Charles Koch, if you can believe that. Anyway, he even hinted he may support Hillary Clinton and is comparing Donald Trump now to a Nazi.
You're role models, and you're terrible role models. So I don't know how we could support him.
Am I hearing you correctly? You think Bill Clinton was a better president than George W. Bush?
Well, in some ways. In other ways, I mean, he wasn't an exemplar.
Yeah.
But as far as the growth of government, the increase in spending on restrictive regulations, it was 2.5 times under Bush that it was under Clinton.
So is it possible another Clinton could be better than another Republican?
It's possible.
Next time around?
It's possible.
You couldn't see yourself supporting Hillary Clinton, could you?
Well, we would have to believe her actions would be quite different than her rhetoric. Let me put it that way.
Was he talking about Donald Trump or Hillary? I'm sorry.
Hillary.
As for Clinton, she's not impressed with Koch and immediately tweeted, quote, not interested in endorsements from people who deny climate science and try to make it harder for people to vote. So, obviously, we have a lot to discuss. Are poor voters holding Bernie Sanders back?
Well, not for the reason not for the reason that he said. I mean, he's been losing. The problem for him is that even if they voted, he's not getting the majority of them. That's his problem. And that's what he has, that's the deceptiveness of what he said. I mean, I just think you got to be honest. The problem is he doesn't have the range of appeal that would attract people who are, in fact, low income to get out there, to register, to vote, to vote for him, because that's what's not happening.
But if income inequality is an issue and things are bad in our community, how does that message not resonate within our community?
Well, what I wasn't clear on, and I must have missed it, when he said that poor people aren't voting, and then I heard something about African Americans. I didn't hear the whole statement.
Yeah.
However, what he has to realize is that it's akin to what Barbara was saying. It's not believable or is not resonating with them. And then further, the part about getting out and being in campaigning is having your ground game. And where he has not proven to do well is having his ground game on fleek. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to run as a Democrat or a Republican, there are also party rules in every state.
Right.
So if you're going to go to New York and you know it's closed primary, months in ahead of time, you're registering people to vote.
Right. Yes.
You have people registering people to vote.
Right.
as a Democrat so they can vote under those lines. The thing about Obama in 2008 mm-hmm. and what I got to experience in 2012 in Hamilton County is that
Amazing.
They went in and they registered people to vote mm-hmm. and they made sure they understood the rules mm-hmm. and how you're supposed to vote. When I went to Virginia, mm-hmm. where you're supposed to go vote, they made sure everything was done. And I'm just not sure that if his campaign is doing this, that people are coming
effective.
Out. It's not very effective,
right.
or they're not doing it.
Right.
There's one
right.
of two things. And so there's a disconnect between his rhetoric and the believability far reach down the line.
Okay,
with
well,
African-Americans
accepting. And we can say that about Bernie, okay, but what
yes.
about the fact that he can attract young people,
yes.
you know, young college people, and Hillary is having a hard time. And no,
I mean,
don't put
can.
Chelsea out on the stump to help you, because that's not going to help.
Well, he can, and the thing that's benefiting Sanders is that I think his average contribution, I think it's $27
yep,
per individual.
That's it.
And when you think about what it takes for a person to maximize,
mm-hmm.
those donors can continue mm-hmm. to give and
on
give and give.
On and on.
So
yeah.
so he has sustainability. Now, again, to your point, mm-hmm. strategically, when you are going state by state, you do have to have a strategy
yes.
in every individual state to be able to target,
on a field
target
right.
and mobilize
right.
those voters.
Yes.
And I think
what
hinders him is that he hasn't had a clear strategy to target and mobilize those voters. And so though he's had the ability to continue to outraise her,
well,
he hasn't been able
problems.
To compete her strategically.
Well, there's a couple problems.
Arrogance.
Because in his inequality speaking, I'm so glad he's doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's great that there's a socialist, democratic, uh-huh. you know, democratic socialist uh-huh. on the ticket. I think that's fabulous. And I understand why young people are attracted to uh-huh. that because they're watching what's happening in Europe. They're looking
right,
at Norway. They're looking
yes.
at Sweden. They're looking at
yes.
all those countries. And they see that the Scandinavian countries are doing better
on the
democratic
social.
But the other thing that he can't do that Hillary is able to do. You know, she's got this, you know, ambiguity of her legacy with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But one part of that legacy that helps her is jobs.
But if you
nobody has created jobs. No one.
Okay, B hasn't made
no
but,
one
but
and
there's
since the Clinton era.
But wait a minute,
we haven't
Barbara,
had a jobs machine, and that's why people are voting for her.
But see,
and
Barbara's
so
pointing out
jobs.
Barbara's pointing
they're
out
saying,
this attractiveness to Sanders because if you look at the Scandinavian countries. But if you compare those countries to some of the poorest states in America, Mississippi, Alabama, those states outperform
yeah.
those
no,
Scandinavian.
They don't.
No, yes
no,
they do. Statistically,
not
yes,
in health care, not in health care, not in income provision.
What's beneficial about Hillary Clinton, and I do not support her, she is practical. She said, wait a minute, you can have all these utopic ideas
right.
all you
right.
want, but in reality, mm-hmm. most of this stuff is not going to work.
And
for a lot of these young
people,
for a lot of my peers, we need to step into reality and realize in politics it just doesn't work that way.
But you know what? The other part of that, though, that really is concerning me around when you talk about the young people.
Yes.
What he has failed to do also is educate them on the process. So you also have a lot of
Agreed.
People saying,
that's true.
Bernie a bust. But they all, and that also to me akin mm-hmm. means that's no down ballot. So mm-hmm. even if we
yes.
like about going to school
right.
for free,
right.
Mm-hmm. Then the other part of that is how are you going to actually get this through a Congress?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And he's not necessarily doing.
He won't be
gotcha.
A nominee. We
and,
know that.
And
all
right. people
all right.
to run for office.
All
right.
right? Okay.
Inspiring another generation.
But you know what? When you're not really a Democrat, you're a Democratic
exactly.
socialist, that's a problem running under the Democratic ticket. Coming up. Coming up. Did deputies just stand and watch as three teenage girls drowned in a stolen car? We're going to discuss this case next. What are the health benefits of a raw vegan diet? We'll break it down with my guest. In today's Fit, Live, Win. For the latest news, stay up to date and informed at news1.com. Join the conversation on Twitter with me at angelaray.com. It's that easy. Or at News1 or on our News1 Facebook page. It's 7:25. Stay with us. Coming right back at you.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Just a terrible story to tell you about. A 16-year-old girl is dead after a vicious fight at her high school in Wilmington, Delaware. Now, the fight broke out inside the girl's restroom at the school and claimed the life of Amy Joyner. The brutal attack was reportedly sparked over a boy. In cell phone video, Joyner is seen on her knees at the hands of another girl before being airlifted to a hospital where she later died. According to Wilmington, Delaware Mayor Dennis Williams, three girls have been questioned and suspended.
Now they know they're in very serious trouble and could spend a substantial amount of time in prison.
Hundreds of students honored Joyner's memory during a vigil Friday night at Howard High School of Technology in Wilmington. Very heartbreaking. Here's another heartbreaking story I had to tell you about. Three teenage girls, 15-year-olds Lania Miller, Ashanti Butler, and 16-year-old Dominique Battle, all drowned when the stolen car they were driving in plunged into a cemetery's retention pond in St. Petersburg, Florida. That was on March 31st. The Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Gaultier says, according to the deputy's reports, attempts were made to enter the water and save the girls from drowning.
The deputies who had been following the vehicle, as soon as it entered the water, they shed their gun belts and other equipment. They attempted to reach the occupants and rescue them, but because of the thick, muddy water, they were unable to do so.
However, one of many recently released dash cam videos put the sheriff's statements into question.
It's sinking still. No, I don't see anybody. It's going down now. I hear him yelling, I think.
They're done, you think? They're done. They are 6'7".
Did you hear him yelling?
Yeah.
I thought I heard him yelling as it was going down, but now they're done.
When the car was finally pulled from the murky pond, it was covered with thick brush and debris. So we have to pose the question, did these deputies actually do all that they could to save these girls from drowning? Joining us via Skype to discuss this very, very sad event is attorney Michelle Whitfield, who is representing the family of Lania Miller. Thank you so much for joining us here on News One Now this morning, along with our panel, Barbara Arnwine, Drew Elons, and Shermichael Singleton. Let's just start talking initially about what happened with these three girls. This is beyond heartbreaking, Ms. Whitfield.
Yeah.
And can you just tell me right now, Lania's mother, tell me, how is she doing? What is going on with the family right now?
Well, I represent Lania's family as well as Dominique Battle's family. And as you can imagine, they're heartbroken because even before we get to the pond, I think it's important to point out that the sheriff, when he announced that these young girls died, he released a press release. And in the press release, before he even got to what happened, you know, the circumstances behind the incident, he listed their names, and right under their names, he listed their criminal records. Mm-hmm. So from the outset, there was this kind of narrative that was being written and being put out there about who these girls were. And I believe that it was in a place to politicize it, but also to minimize their lack of effort to rescue these girls. So you can imagine just that alone, your child has died. That's heartbreaking enough. And then to have a false narrative put out about who your child was, what she or may have or may not have done, in order to almost justify non-action. So, I mean, they're in a place, they are heartbroken. They've lost their children just as any of us would be if we lost our children.
Now, let me ask you something, Ms. Whitfield. The event happened, the situation happened March 31st, am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm just curious as to why are we just sort of hearing about this?
Well, it was interesting because, to be completely honest, I actually heard about it when I was getting on a plane from Florida to Detroit. And, you know, once again, this narrative, these girls were thugs. They were, you know, the criminal activity. In fact, the sheriff, and I quote, said, "These are not good kids."
What?
Yes. and I quote, and they are criminals. And between them, they had 7 arrests and the 8th car that they stole that they died. They died. That actually is not true. That's not factual. Lanaya Miller was arrested for vehicle theft, but she was not charged. The charges were not filed. And the other girls where they did have some run-ins with law enforcement, he's not telling the whole truth because we understand that juvenile crimes are treated differently than adult crimes.
Right.
And so, that was the narrative that he put forth. So really, it has really been an effort of myself and my team with the families to really kind of reclaim the narrative of what occurred with these girls and what happened. And we even have to start at the car that they have. It was reported that it was stolen, but we don't know that to be true. There are some things that my team that we're still investigating regarding even how the girls came into contact with the car. And, you know, so it's all of these things that, you know, these half truths that are being said. You know, the sheriff initially said, well, we weren't chasing them. You know, it's our policy that we don't pursue nonviolent offenders. We had no lights on. We had none of these things on. But when you see the video, you have lights. They're going, speed of upwards of 90 miles per hour. Mm. Well, what is that? To me, that's a chase. You called for dogs. You called for stop sticks. You called for helicopters.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah,
it's on.
Yeah.
So, but no one's holding him accountable when he initially said, "Well, we weren't chasing them. This was just an unfortunate accident."
Okay. So let's talk. I want to talk about the dash cam video,
yes.
Guys,
yes.
Because the thing is, I've seen two different angles, mm-hmm. and one I saw a couple of cops walking by, and another one I just hear talking off to the side. But there are a variety of angles, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if it helps to piece the story together. I just don't know what's going on.
For me, I can't really tell from any of the videos that I saw what actually happened. I just know that it is unfortunate and it's heartbreaking to hear about these three young ladies drowning. But I also had a question around the 35-year-old man who had this car that they, you know, as the attorney suggested, we're not sure about what took around in that circumstance. But that also piqued my interest because there's a 35-year-old man who has stopped at the Walmart, was going to take them somewhere. All of this is murky at the least. Yeah. And I don't understand essentially that. I don't know what you all have been able to find out.
I will tell you this, that story has not been vetted because that, and actually was 36 years old, 36-year-old man, the story that he has provided to law enforcement, that a friend asked him to take these girls that he does not know, that clearly look 15, to up to this local park. Right, he decided to stop at Walmart to buy a television. Here's the problem with the Walmart story. That particular Walmart doesn't sell televisions. It's strictly a grocery store.
Wow.
So, and then... So that was embedded. And now, you know, I'm fighting with Walmart to actually get that video. You know, I hope they've told me that it's been preserved. But now I have to go through the legal means of actually viewing the video, because I believe that video is going to show us something completely different than actually what the recitation of facts that Mr. Marriott, the 36-year-old man, has given.
Right.
And Ms. Whitfield, tell me quickly, I'm sorry, I've got about 30 seconds. Tell me what it is you're specifically wanting right now from law enforcement and from everybody else involved.
What I'm specifically wanting, one, answers to the documents that I have asked to be released to me. One, we don't have the primary officer's dash cam, his co-band. And then when I mean the primary officer, the officer that was directly behind the girls right when they went into the pond, I don't have his video. I don't have his dash cam. I don't really even have some of his radio transmissions. I've asked for that. That's what I'm asking for. Here's the issue. If law enforcement truly did everything that they could do, then you know what? Then we'll say, okay, they did everything that they could do. But what it's appeared to me is that they did not. And if you did, why are you not forthcoming with the information?
All right. Thank you so much.
This was a
good conversation. It's I am so tired of having conversations about our kids, you know, being hurt, being killed, whatever.
Yes.
This is just getting old. And so as a community, we're going to have to come together and figure out what we need to do as a community. Okay. This is our issue and we need to deal with it. Thank you so much, Michelle Whitfield. Thank you so much for joining us via Skype.
She's the attorney for the family of Lanaya Miller, one of the girls who unfortunately drowned on March 31st. Still ahead on News One Now, actor D.B. Woodside comes from what he describes as a highly religious family. So how did they react to him accepting a role in Fox's hit show, Lucifer? He discussed this issue with Roland recently. We have that coming up. And we have a new way to live and eat in today's Fit, Live, Win. All right, follow me on Twitter now at AngelaRae.com. It's that simple. We'll be right back.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now. She grew up right here in the projects of Southeast D.C. She became an accomplished businesswoman, community leader, and a mom. And then one day, her lifestyle changed dramatically. And overnight, she has become a new person. Rosalind Rowe, owner of Salon A227 in Silver Spring, Maryland, joins me on the set to talk about living healthy and living raw. Hello, Miss Rosalind. Good to have you. Good morning.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
Morning. I'm great. I'm so excited that you're here to talk to us about eating, because, y'all, I'm going to be honest. I have an issue. If there is a candy bar around, I will fight you for it. So I need you to help me.
Well, you can have it.
I know that's right. She's like, that is not going in my body. But let's start off by just tell me, you were born and raised, like I said, Southeast D.C.
I'm product of the projects. I'm proud to be from D.C.
That's right.
I'm a public school student from D.C., and I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm now living in Silver Spring, but D.C. is my home. I'm a native.
And I, you know, we've talked about, you know, the fact that, you know, you did grow up in the projects, but like you said, you had a mom and a dad. You didn't know.
I didn't know what projects were until I got to be in my early teens.
And somebody pointed it out.
Someone pointed it out to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was poor or considered poor because they were such a great community. Mm-hmm. I had both parents. Everyone in my neighborhood had both parents. The projects are not like they were. Mm-hmm. They're not today. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the community I lived in. We were a tight-knit community.
And that needs to change. And I know we need to do something to bring the girls and the guys there. We need to get them employed. We need to get them. There's a lot that needs to go on there. I need to move on, though, because this is really important. Mm-hmm. And I want our viewers to know about this. The year before, you went to the medical doctor to do an annual. And what did the medical doctor say?
Well, they say cancer. And I say no.
And so, tell me why you say no.
I'm a woman of great faith. I believe the word of God. So I don't receive anything that's not natural for me. So when they said that, I said, I don't have it. So I chose alternative medicine.
So tell me, instead of Western medicine, which is what, you know, chemotherapy and radiation and all that stuff that just poisons your body, you chose to go, when we say Eastern medicine, we mean medicine that is really brought more from the countries, the Asian countries, Asiatic countries, and that deal with doing things in a very natural way.
Okay, I went to the doctor, I did all the procedures, I even have a port. Mm. I did every CAT scan, PET scan, biopsy, I did all of that. I took the chemo class, but I decided to choose other because I didn't want to poison my body, as you say. I didn't want to do that because I'm a healthy 57-year-old woman. And I was told that at 55. Hmm. So I said, this is the beginning of my new life, 55.
Yes.
I said double faith, double grace.
Yes.
And I was excited about turning 55. So I said, no, I have to try something else. So I went to a naturopath. And I sat and I talked to the naturopath to find out how I can do something different. Mm-hmm. So he said, let's go raw. He said, let's go raw.
Okay, so what does that mean? I mean, did that scare you? Because that's not a concept that a lot of us are familiar with.
Well, it didn't scare me because I was excited about living.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I want to live, and I'm going to live. I'm going to live a healthy, prosperous life. Oh, I am. And I feel great. I feel like I can leap across tall buildings even now.
Ooh!
I feel like Wonder Woman. You know, I haven't missed a beat. You know, I changed my eating habits. I started exercising. I'm not exercising as great as Sir Michael, but I've changed. I am exercising. But I want to get on a regimen like him because I do have a trainer, and I have not been as faithful with my trainer as I should.
But let me stop you right there. But you have been faithful with respect to changing your diet.
Oh, yes.
And I want to talk about this diet and raw and how we can all become a part of this.
Well, our eating is important because what we put in our body is what will happen with our bodies. That makes all the difference. I learned that what I eat is what I become. Mm-hmm. So I had not been a great meat eater because I had stopped eating red meat years prior. Mm-hmm. So I was doing chicken and fish. So I went cold turkey. The day my naturopath said go raw, I went cold turkey. I instantly lost 23 pounds within 30 days. And it's not just about the weight loss, but I felt healthier.
Right.
So my body felt like a greater machine. And I stand on my feet all day because I'm a hairstylist and I've been doing this for 40 years. So I had bad eating habits, mm-hmm. terrible eating habits. Mm-hmm. I ate chocolate. Mm-hmm. I ate dessert for my main meal.
If I would go
out and eat dinner, I would order my dessert first mm-hmm. because I was a sweet junkie. Mm-hmm. And anybody who knows, sugar is the culprit for cancer.
For
it feeds cancer.
That's right. Yeah.
Sugar is the worst thing we can put in our body. And everything has sugar in it.
Mm-hmm. Most, it does.
Yes.
So when you went raw, Rosalind, this means, like, I know you do a lot of juicing. So there's juicing involved. Look, can we show the before and after pictures of Roz? Okay. Mm-hmm. So to the left, I never even met the person to the left in the black. That's Rosalind. Do you know? And to the right is the new her. Go ahead, Chucky Ducky. I mean, that is super fabulous. Now, in order to get that way, let's talk about the food. We've got some pictures of some of the food, the vegan diet. So you've not just gone raw, you've gone vegan.
Yes.
Explain to us, and I want to talk about the juicing as well, because we need to get bad stuff out of our body, and juicing is one of the ways we can do it.
Well, a lot of times when people hear the word raw, they're like, I can't go raw.
Right.
They think it's horrible food, but I'm telling you, it's the mm-hmm. best food. It's so delicious because it's really all in the spices and the herbs that we use. Mm-hmm. You could take a piece of chicken and bake it bland, and you wouldn't want to eat it because it has no taste. So it's really how you season it. So it's all in the seasonings. So you can take vegetables, season them up, mm-hmm. and as long as it doesn't go over 118 degrees Fahrenheit, mm-hmm. it still keeps all the nutrients. So you can still prepare that way. So I have a young group of people who prepare for me. They're called Raw on Wheels, which I love. So they juice for me as well, because juicing does take time, and I really don't have the time. So you pay for what you want.
Now, in your juicing, is your doctor working in tandem with them to
not with them, but he's told me what to do. I have to have 13 glasses of juice a day, mm-hmm. along with a gallon of water, mm-hmm. And I have to eat plenty of fruits and vegetables, but more vegetables than fruit.
Because
I take 3 vegetables for every fruit.
And okay. Rosalind Rowe, we needed more time with you. We appreciate everything you're doing and that you wanted to bring this to our community, because there are alternative ways to treat cancer or other problems,
disease
period, and you have shown us.
Just to stay healthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've shown us that way. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you. Yes. We learned something. I'm going to give me some juice. Coming up, D.B. Woodside recently sat down with Roland to discuss his role on Fox's hit show Lucifer. We have that conversation coming up. Beyonce breaks the internet with her groundbreaking video album while paying tribute to the Black Lives Matter movement. We'll take a closer look coming up.
Here we go.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Fox's new hit show Lucifer has drawn much criticism from many in the religious community for its concept and imagery. Roland recently had the opportunity to sit down with actor D.B. Woodside to discuss his family's take on him accepting the role, initial skepticism of the show, and Roland even found time to roast Woodside's favorite NFL team, my team, the Cowboys. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. First of all, you got to check the show out. You can't just by the name, not, you know, be afraid of the show. And what I said to my mom, who's a devout Christian, is if you can watch 2 homicidal ex-drug dealers say or do anything to keep their family on top of the music industry, and we all know the show I'm talking about.
Right, right.
We all love it, right? But if you can watch that, then you can sit down and watch Lucifer and give it a chance, you know, and see what we're trying to do.
But you do know when they call you and said you got the role, you were going, okay, I got to figure out how I'm going to have to tell these black folks I'm going to be on the show about the devil.
Yeah, I did. But people have watched it, you know, and There's a lot of humor in it. I mean, it really is funny, you know. So I just encourage people to sit back and let that hour roll over them and enjoy it, you know.
Well, it first of all, an interesting concept. I think back to the movie The Devil's Advocate, Al Pacino, who, of course, who played that character as well. It sort of allows, I would say, for that particular character to be as crazy as all get out, to be as wild as possible because, hey, you're the devil.
Yeah, yeah. It also allows us to have conversations, you know. I mean, I think there's this whole idea about, you know, what is evil, what is good, what is justice. All of that really kind of, with this show, opens us up to have conversations like that. So it's a really, really interesting show, you know. And you know, it's a lot more funny than even I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But we do touch on some important topics as well as the season rolls along. It starts to get a little bit darker, a little bit grittier. Which is something that, as an actor, I always love. So it's just something that was really different, especially for from what I've done.
How have fans responded? Because do you sort of have one group of folks, or do you have Christians who respond one way? Do you have atheists who respond the other way? Or do folks say, look, it's entertainment, it's a TV show, it's all good?
Before the show debuted, I'd probably say there were a lot of people that were nervous, that have problems with the show about Lucifer being done. But since the show has now aired and people have had a chance to sit back and watch it themselves, that I've had a lot of people, especially friends and family, call me up and tell me, okay, it's not what I thought it was going to be, so I'm going to watch this. And I said, okay, I told you, it's different. And, you know, there are so many different types of television shows on that we kind of, you know, we probably have friends or family that might be offended by something on every single television show, whether that's Empire, whether that's Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. I mean, there are subjects within those that offend some people, you know? But we all watch those shows, and we all root for those shows. So what I like to say is just give this show a chance, you know, watch it, and let me know what you think.
But you should be used to this in terms of Lucifer and the devil because you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. So you're used to evil.
Okay. So we're going to get into that.
But you're used to evil.
Let's go there. I mean, follow you on Twitter.
You should be used to evil.
All right. I follow you on Twitter. You are hateful to the Cowboys,
I despise the Cowboys.
Hateful to the Cowboys.
I came out the womb hating the Cowboys.
Okay.
That's now, right. First of all, where are you from?
Okay.
Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
New York.
Raised, yes.
You got two teams in New York.
Yes, we do.
So how all of a sudden you a Cowboys fan when you got the Jets and the Giants right there where you were born and raised?
Because I grew up always loving the Cowboys.
Where are you from?
New York.
So you decided to say, forget that. We don't have one team. You got two teams.
We actually got three, but yeah, because we got Buffalo too.
Okay, throw in Buffalo. Now you got three teams.
Yep.
So you like, so forget the whole state of New York, forget New Jersey.
I love New York. Love New York. But
you don't like your New York teams.
When you love champions.
Four wins.
When you're part of a dynasty.
Hold on. When
part
last,
of a dynasty. Yes.
Last time y'all were there was when Dynasty was on TV.
Right.
Really? Really? Really?
All
so
right.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna watch Lucifer.
Okay.
But I'm also going to add you to the list of people who I torment during football season. See, so Gina Prince-Bythewood, Steve Perry, Sophia Nelson, Omar Epps, LeBron James, D.B. Woodside has now been added to that list. So you'll be hearing from me 16 Sundays.
Oh, wow.
Every fall.
Oh, wow.
And when y'all don't make the playoffs again.
Okay.
We going to run this. Matter of fact, this will be on Twitter and Facebook. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much, man.
Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
There were plenty of cameos in Beyoncé's documentary-style debut of her album, Lemonade, but perhaps one of the most noteworthy moments was showing the mothers who have lost their children to gun violence and police brutality. Sabrina Fulton, the mother of Trayvon Martin, pictured there on the left, holds a picture of her son. Also, Leslie McSpadden, the mother of Michael Brown, shown there on the right, was in the video. Gwen Carr, Eric Garner's mother, also appeared in the video. Soon after the video debuted, Fulton's attorney, Benjamin Crump, tweeted a photo with the mothers. The caption says, "Thank you, Beyonce, for giving this large platform to the mothers of the movement." What do you think?
I think
I'm sorry, she set the gauntlet when she performed when she helped Coldplay at the Super Bowl.
She helped Coldplay. She did.
No, that Bruno Mars is the beginning. Right, yeah.
But I think this just continues the narrative of what you know, when we talked earlier about Prince, how we didn't know a lot about things that he thought and things that he was doing. I think now this is also her time to talk about things that she's doing, things that she cares about. I think also being a mother, your perspective changes. And so I think it was it was a beautiful thing to see. And actually, that's the only part that I caught of the Lemonade Show was that part. And I was I was taken aback because everything I was reading up on Twitter prior to that, I didn't know, so I was like, what is this? Let me go check it out. And then I saw that. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. But then it's interesting because the mothers of the movement, I think each one of them, if I'm not mistaken, are supporting Hillary Clinton. So I just thought that was quite interesting.
Well, I'm just happy.
You're just saying. Well, just add something else to add. But Hillary has courted them, though. Hillary has courted them.
Yes.
I'm
happy to see Beyonce's evolution.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, she's always had this thing about women and that she wanted to empower women. Mm-hmm. But what we're now seeing is her music is really crystallizing
because
her philosophy.
She is now a woman.
Yes.
She is
it's really coming out.
She's a show woman.
It's really coming out.
That's right.
Before we say it's the music, it's not necessarily the words, it's the visual.
Yes.
And I think it's the visual predominance.
But look at the picture that she has all those women.
Utilizing her platform.
We're
going to
let them keep talking about Beyonce. I've got to get out of here. I'll be back here tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. On News One Now.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.